partly because of my granddaughters, although over the years I've been faced with this subject. And I know that sometimes Christians, it's not they neglect to study, they just don't really understand the Holy Spirit. And that's unfortunate, because they really should. They should understand. But before this lesson is through, it's my hope that you will understand and take with you the very thought that the Holy Spirit of God, the mind of God, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 2, that the mind of God is a teacher. He is a teacher. He is an entity. He is not a thing or an it. He is a he. And he is the mind of God. And he does direct us through the Word as we study the Word of God. I have maintained for a very long time, because I was an elementary teacher teaching children in third grade, that when I had a class come in very fresh, I would ask those in the students to raise their hand if they, pardon me, if they had gone to some Bible class, some Bible study. I didn't know which one it was. Didn't really ask what church they went to, just said, did you go to Bible study? And about half the class raised their hand, and I rejoiced, because those students are always head and shoulders above all the other students. Because God's Word raises the intelligence of individuals, whether they recognize it or not. But I'm not going to talk a great deal about that. But it's just interesting to me that people don't seem to understand that God's Word, it writes your life. It gives direction to your life. It helps you to see what is right and what is wrong. There are so many verses that I could read, my brethren, but I want you to turn to 1 Peter 5. Well, that's not right. That's not right at all. I'll get there. Oh. Let's not do this game again. I don't like this game. Oh, okay. I've been good. Okay, try again. I think I just, when I let it cook too long, it overcooks. That's what happens to it. Okay. There you go. All right. Well, why doesn't the Holy Spirit of God speak to me as others claim he speaks to them? I want to know why it is that God Almighty doesn't have his Holy Spirit speak to me. I have never heard a voice. And if I do, I need some medication. Hearing voices are kind of scary. But in any event, not to make light of that, I will tell you this, that my granddaughters grew up in the Pentecostal church for most of their lives. And so from the very beginning, I had to wrestle with this and work with this and help them to see, because they loved their Nana. They loved her and loved their papa, and they loved them to death, and they're Pentecostal. And they did not understand, although I will admit that as they got older, they got to where they didn't want to go to church anymore because of the strange things that were happening in that building. People rolling in the floors, people raising up holy hands, you know, all this stuff, you know. Speaking in quote-unquote tongues, which they're not, but that's what they say. I think the mass hysteria is what makes them think they're doing that. But in any event, I'm not here to call them a liar or to be hateful to them. I'm not. I believe that they are very moral people. I've known many in the Assembly of God. I've studied with those in the Four Square Gospel, if you're familiar with that group. I've studied with Baptists that are charismatics, Catholics that are charismatic. I mean, I've found the charismatic movement throughout all these different churches, because people want power. They want something powerful. And that's hard for people to understand. We as brethren, we know that the power is in the Word, but they are taught that the power is within them, in themselves. Now, that sounds like a psychology class that you should take, empowering people. But no, the power is in God's Word. And that's how the Holy Spirit teaches us, through the Word of God. So, my brethren, if you don't study God's Word, then you don't know what God is saying. And you don't have a clue what you're supposed to be doing. Because it's your lifeline, God's Word. It is. Absolutely. Well, a lot of people don't agree on what. It doesn't matter who agrees on anything. God Almighty has spoken clearly through His Son, and that by the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and they in writing, and the prophets of the time. Pardon me. Make sure I'm in the right place. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you apart from the Bible? That's the question tonight. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you apart from the Bible? Do you believe in a direct operation of the Holy Spirit? But what about Romans 10:17? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, through the Word of God. He does not, nor will He ever, and I'll say this more than once in the lesson, He will not ever tell me something that He won't tell you. And I promise He'll never tell you something that He won't tell me. Because God Almighty is no respecter of persons. And that's the bottom line of it. That's the very nature of God Himself. So many don't understand these concepts because they would ask questions like, well, Dennis, I don't understand, we'll get to that in a minute. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. And my Pentecostal friend would say, but Dennis, you just worship the Bible. You're a Bible worshiper. You need to let the Spirit speak to you. You need to let the Holy Spirit come into you. And I said, well, I've suffered where I thought I had heartburn, but maybe, no, probably not. And, you know, the thing about it is that, and they're very sincere about this. I was a janitor long ago at Sears in Denton when I was going to school, college, and I was working with a 70 years old and very nice man. He and I were working cleaning floor in the middle of the night, and those are pretty big machines to work anyway, and they're scary sometimes. But anyway, and they've got a lot of juice. They're 220, big old cord, you know. And so anyway, I was afraid for him because those things are really powerful. I thought he might get loose from me and something happened to him. And all of a sudden, I heard this scream. What? It's this great yell, and I looked up and I said, what's wrong? I pulled the plug. What's wrong? He said, don't you feel it? Don't you feel it? It's the Holy Spirit in the air. It's in the air. Brother, I felt nothing. I didn't know how to tell him. I don't feel it. Because you know what his answer is, don't you? Well, you just don't have faith. If you had faith, you'd feel it. You would know it's there. I might as well be hearing a song about the magical mystery tour. I mean, you know, it's really strange, very strange. But, and they would ask me, they'd go to Acts 2, and they say, well, Dennis, if Acts 2 is not for us today, I said, well, it is for us today. And they said, yeah, but if it's not where we speak in tongues and all the things, that I said, well, that's where you made a mistake in that, because you don't understand why God left it there in Acts 2. Well, why did God leave it there? I said, have you ever seen a skyscraper built? Have you ever seen how they put scaffolding up the sides of it? And they build the building higher, and the scaffolding goes higher. And finally, when they finish, they tear the scaffolding down. And then you see the building, but you don't have a clue how they did that. God left in place the scaffolding to show you how He brought the Word of His Son, Jesus, into the world. That's why it's there. It's not there so you could have some personal message from God just for you. I read in the New Testament how the Jews wanted a sign. They always seeking signs. They wanted some special message, you know. And I will confess that the message of the cross is a very special message, but it's from the Scriptures. It's not how I feel about it or how you feel about it or even what I think it is. It's what it says it is. That's why God has limited himself, you heard that right, to words. Through the medium of words, that's what He's used. And so people say, well, I don't know. I talked to my friends and they don't really understand. I said, I know. Turn to John 16. Let me show you something in the Scriptures. This is not really a debate. I know that sometimes preachers will, if you will, prepare their lessons like a debate. That's not what this is. This is genuinely because I'm concerned for the souls of these people who many of us as Christians don't think they'll listen to the Word of God. And we're wrong. They will listen to it because it's reason. You may or may not know Bobby Holmes. But Brother Holmes came out of the Assembly of God and Pentecostalism. He laid it aside and said, you need the Bible. I've known more than he of those who came out and they were strong for the Lord through His Word. They realized, and when they got a hold of it with both hands, they held on to it because they knew that this is the truth that's in the book. So many people have lost that. They don't understand it. However, when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, what Jesus speaks to His apostles, if you will, verses 12 and 15. Might have a drink, brethren. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, the thing about this is that people want the Holy Spirit to do something that God didn't promise Jesus. Jesus said the Holy Spirit of God would come to them, and it didn't, Acts the second chapter. They were endued from a power from on high, spoke in tongues, which the tongues of the people that were there. Everybody understood what was being said, and they said, we hear the glories of God in our ears. And so it was not some gibberish that no one understood, but it was the gospel. But what happens is, though, is that they want something more. They want something more. Turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 24th chapter. Here, if you will. In Luke 24. And Jesus said in the 46th verse, then he said to them, this is Luke 24, verse 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Who are the witnesses? The apostles. You are the witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So Acts 2 is couched in this verse that Jesus said, and of course Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So when you turn to Acts, the first chapter, you hear a curious thing in the first two verses. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, when he said, and when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, guess what all means? Instead of us saying, what part of all don't you understand? What part of all don't you understand? Nothing else. Nothing beyond it. This is it. This is the word. God hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, who appointed heir of all of the world. So there you have it. So why can't my charismatic friends understand this? Because they're not putting Jesus first. And they don't understand that. And I have to go back and rebuild from the scriptures faith in Christ Jesus the Lord. Because they don't believe that Jesus is the one. And they said, well, yes, we do. I said, no, you don't. Because you have God telling you something that Jesus said it wouldn't happen. That's the truth of it. You need to take your neighbor, not necessarily to task, but take them to the scriptures and show them precept on precept what it's saying. This is not impossible to understand. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy, I don't understand. Holy Spirit of God, the mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2 teaches us, and he is a teacher. He is a teacher, 1 John 2, verse 24. In 1 John 2 and verse 24, the scriptures teach us, John writing here, and he said to those brethren, therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and then in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. But did you notice in the 24th verse? It's up to them. It's up to them. Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who would try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Friends, the Holy Spirit taught them, and the teaching was within their hearts. How many times in algebra and geometry did I hope that somehow the teacher could raise up my skull and just pour it in? Boy, what a good day. I was waiting for the day we have a pill, take a pill, and I know algebra just doesn't happen. And even if I took it, I don't think it would work. So anyway, but the thing is, though, that is the deal, though. And a lot of people still don't seem to understand the principle that's involved in this thing. Watch this. What about the sincere in heart? This is a hard one. Because these people believe that they have the power. Now, let me tell you a little story. And preachers sometimes get accused of telling stories. But this is a true story. This really did happen. And in the end of the story, you'll see that I was the one that was duped. Okay, so that works out. It's a good story. So when I was a young man, about 7 years old, I should have known better. But at 6 years old, I had a couple of girls down the street. Now, this is not a sordid story. They were my friends, and we played together and had a good time. And one day I went down to see about them, and I knocked on the door, and they didn't come to the door. Knocked on the door, all of a sudden the door opened. And it was dark inside their house. Middle of the day, darkness. And I said, "What are y'all doing? Come in and see." I wouldn't go in today, so I said that. Dark room. There on the table was, I had no idea what it was. It was a Ouija board. Dun, dun, dun. A Ouija board. And a planchette or the stylus that he takes, they have the bubble of the crystal in the center of it, you know, and they were moving and said, "Here, put your hand on this corner." And so I put my hand on the corner, and all of a sudden it moved and said, You moved it. No, we didn't move it. I was hooked. And so all of a sudden it started spelling out our names. I thought, this is great. We have power. We can tell the future. We can know things that nobody knows. I'm so excited. I was so excited I forgot to come home for supper. Now all that's excited. And so day by day I'd go back to them and I was just amazed at the Ouija board and what it would tell you. And I was just amazed. I was so excited. And then one morning I went, knocked on the door, and they finally came to the door and I said, "Let's have a seance. Let's go to the Ouija board. Let's let the dead talk to us." Oh, I was suckered in really bad. And you know what those girls did to me? They were mean. I learned a long time ago, girls can really be mean. And they said, "No, we're tired of that. We don't do it anymore." I said, "What? What is that? Are you kidding me?" And they said, "No, we were just teasing you." And you know what, my brethren? No matter how much they said it, I would not believe it because they were taking away my power. And when you're studying with someone who's a charismatic, that's what you're doing. They see you as someone trying to take a power that they feel that God has specially given them. Now you see why they hold so tenaciously to it? Because they feel powerful. You know what? I feel powerful too through the Word of God because the power of God is in His Word and the power is there. And if we had more faith in it, my brethren, we could have conquered the world. We only believed it and knew the power of God's word. I say, "Well, but isn't that the power of the Holy Spirit?" Absolutely. Well, the Holy Spirit speaks through these words and teaches people who are willing to do. Now, Robert Farish, long ago when I was a boy, he said, "I want to give you a verse to remember, Dennis, and I want you to remember it because you probably will forget it, and you won't understand what it means right now, but later on you will." And of course, once he said that, I just want to study, but forget what he's saying. But it says in John 7:17, "If a man is willing to do the will of my Father, he shall know of the teaching, whether I speak from myself or whether it's of God." And I thought I could figure out. But later on I realized that what he was saying was that unless you're willing to do his will, you will never know the teaching. You will never know. You're not willing to do it. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James 1:22. Why does it say that? Because that's what people do. They deceive themselves into believing something that is not there. Now, I heard I almost hesitate to say this. I heard Tom talking about wiring doors and in a scary house. He was trying to bring about an illusion that there were ghosts. It's right, Tom, you're forgiven. It's okay. But you see, that's the nature of this, though. When the Pentecostal church, most of the members, they're really very nice people, but they've been duped by the two girls down the street with a Ouija board. Oh, it's not a Ouija board. They claim that they preach the Bible, but they don't. And what they do preach is take out of context. And they don't give the power to God through the word or give the glory to Christ. It's the glory of them. Now in the Church of Christ, we have preachers who don't preach Christ Jesus, but they preach themselves. And that's the same junk that you'll find in any of these denominations or even the charismatics. Because they make the people feel powerful. Let me tell you something, brethren. The only thing that makes you feel powerful is when you obey the gospel and when you put God first and when you go talk to the lost and you teach them. I know. I've seen it. But what about the sincere in heart? I know I. Well, what about them? For I bear them witness, Apostle Paul said, for I bear them witness, Romans 10, verse 1 through 3, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. He said, in fact, go back and look at that. Now I see what I've done. Left it off. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And I think that means they're lost. That's what he said. They're lost. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And the thing about this verse that's so amazing is that they were sincere in heart. They were zealous, but that didn't save them. Because they were establishing their own righteousness. What they said was right. When I was going to church, I'd hear people always say, righteousness, righteousness. I don't know, what is righteousness? It's what God says is right. That's what it is. Simple. Real simple. Nothing hard to understand. But the thing is, though, is that we move on. So in Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 10, listen to this. I find this to be interesting because in this verse, once again, from Luke 24, over to Acts, the first chapter. And now, in Ephesians, the third chapter, we hear the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, say this. Start with the eighth verse. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. It's interesting to me that the eternal purpose that was to be accomplished was the manifold wisdom of God make me known to the church. And the church would reveal, because the Holy Spirit would guide the Christians in the church by the word of God. I grant you that in the first century, they did not have a Bible. They couldn't bring their Bible. They never forgot their Bible because they didn't have one. If they did, they had the Torah, five books of the Old Testament. But there's no New Testament. They got some letters, but they're not put together yet. People can't read them. So what's the Holy Spirit to do? God has sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he promised Jesus, the Holy Spirit did come upon them. The Corinthians, if you remember, studying the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know that they were just a pain because God had used them and given them spiritual gifts, and they were holding his personal favoritism. Oh, well, God said to me. And Paul just tanned them. He just blistered them for it and told them how wrong that was. Well, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. It is not hard to understand why what kind of trouble the Apostle Paul had. He had trouble. He had real trouble because they weren't listening to the words of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, turn there with me in your Bibles. Pardon me. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, interesting verse, easy to really understand. And if you ever want to know any more about the Holy Spirit, you study 1 Corinthians 2, and you'll understand what God has revealed through the Apostle Paul, who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does. And you won't have to worry about not knowing what the Holy Spirit does. And you won't be worried about talking to your charismatic friends. Don't make fun of them. Don't laugh at them. Talk to them with the Scriptures. Help them to see the truth, because you love their souls. That's why you do it that way. It's easy to laugh at them, but I'm going to tell you something. They're lost. They're lost in a devil's web, and they cannot see the light of day in the Scriptures. They do not know. How many times have I had parents come to me and said, help us. Our son or our daughter has been lost to the charismatics. And I said, well, we need to get our Bibles open. We need to study. We need to study God's Word. You need to be prepared with God's Word to study with them. Don't tell them how disappointed you are in them or how you don't like that they're over there. You take them God's Word. You let God do the talking, not you. Let God do the talking, for God has the power to change hearts, and I don't. Not really. But God does through His Word, Holy Spirit. Through the Word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, and so the statement is made, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I put words there because that's what's implied, spiritual words. But that's fine, because don't you see, he says the Holy Spirit teaches. How many times do I have to go through in this lesson that I'm preaching tonight and show you that the Holy Spirit is a teacher? The Holy Spirit is a teacher, even as he has taught you. Teacher, teacher, teacher. That's what the Holy Spirit is, a teacher. Well, yeah, Dennis, he's an entity, yes, and he's a he, I grant you that. But God has given him a charge that he promised his son Jesus, that would come and he would teach. And God who? The apostles into all the truth. And so we have to study the apostles. We have to study the Bible, New Testament, to understand. I'll go ahead and tell you that one of the gravest problems I've seen in the church, and I've seen a lot of them, but this is a grave problem. They're studying God's Word incorrectly. They're studying God's Word incorrectly. They'll spend a year in the book of Acts and never once talk about the book of Isaiah. They won't talk about Ezekiel. They won't go back to the 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Again, as I say to you, they will not be out there with little boy David running toward Goliath. They don't understand what that means. It doesn't raise them up as it does me. It makes a difference. You understand the Old Testament. You understand what those people were faced with and what they did and what they didn't do sometimes. Because the Bible leaves out nothing. It tells you their failures and it tells you their successes too. But it shows you that they were just human beings just like we are. But you can be more than you are today as a Christian. You can be stronger if you'll trust the Lord and study your word, study His Word. And that seemed to be the problem that we're finding, that brethren just don't study. 1 Corinthians 13, here it is. This is the one. This is the one I want you to remember. Underline this in your Bible, if you haven't already. This is the one that tells the story. Starting with the 8th verse. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Now, folks don't seem to understand the simplicity of that. When it says it shall cease, I wonder, well, it will a little afterward. No, it will cease. It will stop. It will not happen anymore. Do you know that God is no respecter of persons? Why is God talking to you through the Holy Spirit and He's not talking to me? I want to know why. It makes me mad. Why in the world would God talk to you and wouldn't talk to me? I'm a good person. I'm nice. Well, sometimes. But don't you see? People don't understand that about God's Word, that it's consistent, that it teaches us that which we need to know. God is no respecter of persons. In Acts 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, as he taught the household of Cornelius. Romans 2 and verse 11, the end, he said, for there is no partiality with God. Jew, Gentile, makes no difference. You do sin, you suffer the consequences of it. Doesn't matter who you think you are. That makes no difference at all. It's who God knows you are. You need to remember these things. These things are very, very important, because this shows you they don't understand the nature of God. No, God is no respecter of persons. Why would God tell me something he wouldn't tell you? Why would God tell you something he wouldn't tell me? Many think they are special above others, and yet Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not too far from any one of us to know what God wants us to do, if you want to do it. But you have a willingness to do, not just a willingness to know, so you can decide what you want to do. You need to be willing to do. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. For generation after generation, the gospel preacher stood in the pulpit and said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And Samuel, wondering who God is calling. And you know that account itself. You know, brethren, who is God calling? He's calling you. Don't you see that? He's calling you. He didn't just call me. He called you. Do you think I'm going to be up here by myself? Do you think I'm just going to preach and it's just going to... Listen, brethren, this is not a show. This is not a game show. This is not entertainment. Really not. This is the truth of the gospel. This is what the book teaches. I'm trying to help you to see something that you'll be able to help others also, to teach them the truth. And you have the ability to do it. And you have the scriptures behind you to do it. Do not let your courage... Don't faint. Don't give up. Be strong in the Lord. And the glory of his might. Be strong. So many people don't seem to understand that, because they want others to be strong for them. Well, Gary, that was short. I don't know. I don't think got their money's worth. I'm not sure. Getting in trouble here. pardon me. Let me say, in conclusion, that people like to think that they know more than others. And finally, in my years, I finally learned that I did not know. I did not know. I had to go back to when I was 6 years old and remember what happened to me. I remembered how duped I was and how fooled I was and how I was ready to just get those girls just get back to this table. We need to get this board going. We need to learn these things, you know. I was completely devoid of God's word, evidently, because that's what sucked me in. But when you know God's word, you don't get sucked in by that junk, because you know what God said. You know what God promised. You know who you are. Do you know something, dear friend, if you're not a Christian? Do you know you're at the mercy of the devil? And the last time I checked, the devil shows no mercy. Do you not understand that everyone he gets hold of and captures, he kills them? He kills their soul. Their soul's dead. You cannot go to heaven without Jesus. You can't go to heaven without being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's just the beginning of being a Christian. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning. That's where you start to walk the Christian walk. And you're charged to teach the lost and those around about you. And you're to be a bright and shining light. And yet I hear people saying, Lord, send them. I know, Lord, send me. Because that's the problem. We're not looking to the fact that we have a powerful word. We have a powerful word. God has blessed me in so many different ways, brethren. I could spend the rest of the night telling you how God's blessed me. How I have had brethren, Christians who lived right before me when everybody else was living wrong. I can tell you about churches that were just completely divided and almost destroyed. And yet in the midst of all that mess, there was somebody that loved the Lord and they were doing right. I can tell you about preachers that wouldn't give me the time of day, and I understand why. But others who would talk with me and knew who I was, and that made me feel special. Well, good, I was just ripe for Pentecostalism, right? No, the thing was is that they considered people as people. They never considered themselves to be somewhere up here. When I heard a gospel preacher tell me one time, he said to me, he was very upset because he'd been sent a questionnaire from a church. And because they just sent these questions out because they want to know what the man believed before he came and held a gospel meeting. That's all they wanted to know. And this brother in Christ, who was well known and well respected, his answer was, I'm above question. They know what I believe. And I said, no, brother, it changes all the time. People fall away all the time. Preachers do too. You need to ask the questions, brethren. You need to ask the hard questions. Don't sit there like a bump of log. Speak up. Say something. Because who's going to do that if you don't? Who is going to be? Oh, I'm just a woman. No. Don't use that excuse. You're in the church as well as men are. You're as charged to do the right thing as any of us are. Well, I can't wait the tables. I can't. That doesn't matter. The real work here is not just preaching for the pulpit and handing out the Lord's Supper or taking the collection. The real work is teaching the lost, brethren. It's knowing the Word of God so you can teach people the truth and love their soul enough to know that that's what they need. But we don't love souls like we should, brethren. We feel put upon. And that's ridiculous. Jesus died for the whole world. He died for their sins too. I had to learn a lot of lessons in that regard. Because I got to thinking that God was, you know, just really real selective. And I'd see people say, they never hear the gospel. And then they would. And I'd go, well, who'd believe that? But you see, they were just ready. You don't know who's ready to obey the gospel. You don't know who's ready. You have your friends. I mean, my grandchildren right now, they know that the girls, they know that when they make friends, they say, well, if you're going to be my friend, you're going to go to church with me. And you're going to deal with my grandpa. And that's enough to lose friends right there. I'm not too bad sometimes. But the thing about it is, though, is that they know that if you're not a Christian, you will be lost. They understand that, brethren. My own brethren in Christ Jesus the Lord don't understand that. They act like everybody's going to heaven. Don't matter what you do. That's false. That's the devil's lie. Don't you ever believe that. You may not live like the devil and go to heaven unless you repent. But to think that somehow God doesn't care what his son did, why did to the Lord God, Jesus was put to death 2 days ago. Haven't you read 2 Peter 3? Haven't you said that a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day to the Lord? Don't you understand it was 2 days ago? You evidently come to the point where you don't know God at all, and that's a scary thing. Well, the invitation is an important thing indeed, for there are those here today that are not New Testament Christians, and I'm concerned for them, and I love their souls. And I don't believe that anyone should be browbeaten to the water. I believe you need to know what you're doing before you obey the gospel, because there's a great cost, a great cost. You will not belong to yourself anymore. That's number one. Number two, you'll belong to someone else. You'll belong to Jesus. He is your master. He is your Lord. You will owe allegiance to him by confessing with your mouth that he is the Son of the living God. You will go and you will allow yourself to be baptized in water after you made that good confession and be raised to walk in a new way and a new life and leave the devil behind, because now you belong to Jesus and Jesus will add you to his church and you'll be saved. And you go to sleep tonight, don't worry about what happens tomorrow, because tomorrow's taken care of, because you're a Christian now, and it's a good thing. Brethren, have you forgotten how you felt after you obeyed the gospel? I felt. How you felt about it? You were excited. You were glad. You knew your sins were forgiven and remembered no more. You were so thankful. And then time came, the devil came, and wore him down. You know, and then pretty soon, a Christian comes to me and says, brother, I just don't feel on fire like I used to when I first obeyed the gospel. I said, it's because you're not reading the gospel. Well, I read my Bible. No, you don't. You read it, but you don't read it. You don't really make the applications to yourself. Don't you know the preacher only preaches to other people, right? Not to you. Well, let me tell you before I bring this to a conclusion, that did you know that who I preach to? I preach to myself. This lesson is for me. I need this lesson. I need to remember these things, because I can get puffed up and I can become arrogant, and I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do that way. I had a wife who kept me humble, so I keep praying. She tried. But if you need our prayers, we stand ready to pray with you and for you. And obeying Jesus is the greatest thing in the world. He will help you. He will save you. Your sins will be washed away. Don't you see what a grand thing it is to be a Christian? Won't you come while we stand and while we sing? Won't you come?
I am to follow Jesus. I am decided.